Okay, thank you, everyone. I hereby call tonight's regularly scheduled COW meeting to order. Let the record show that all the aldermen are here except Alderman Marks, who I heard was ill tonight. I'm Dawn Vogelsberg, the alderman from the 3rd Ward, one of them, and just part of Take Your Alderman to Work Day that Mayor Burns initiated. All right. I'm sorry. Can I just see this first? Already. All right. The first thing we'd like to do is consider the consent agenda. Can I have a motion for that?
So moved.
Motion by someone quiet, Brown, and second by Hill. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That's unanimous. And now we'd just like to take a moment, and Mayor Burns would like to talk about something.
Ladies and gentlemen, this past week we, as a community, suffered the loss of a matriarch of one of our fine businesses. Mrs. Gishi of Gishi Shoes passed away. At the tender age of 86 years old, she died due to complications of Parkinson's disease. Her sons, of course, obviously missed their mother. They lost their father several years ago. The stores were closed today in honor of Mrs. Gishi, and obviously that's the least they could do. The wake was yesterday. The funeral is today. So on the off chance you are downtown and off of Hamilton and 4th Street and have a chance to pop in and not only say hi to the Golden Labrador Retriever, but also perhaps pay your respects to the Gishi family, that'd be certainly appreciated. I promised the Gishi boys that we would reference their mother's loss tonight. And I also want to acknowledge, and I'm certain all of us are aware, that a young lady from Batavia High School, a young woman named Quincy Ariel Barnes Miller, passed away last week, October 20th to be exact. There is a brief something I'd like to read on the off chance you did not have a chance to read it. This is a little obituary about Quincy. Quincy Barnes Miller, 15 years old, of Batavia, passed away on Wednesday, October 20th. She was born on January 4th, 1995. To Corey and Blythe Miller, Quincy was blessed with beauty, talent, love, and laughter that, unfortunately, she and the world sometimes could not see. She loved all the good times with her family and friends, which will become cherished memories. She loved poetry, art, and photography. She liked being unique and had a great sense of humor. Her smile and laugh were contagious and could lighten the darkest places. She was the most giving and caring person and had a love for all things. Her life will continue through her amazing gift of hope. She donated her organs so that others might live. From her amazing artistic passion evolved memories that family and friends will cherish in the remembrance of a life gone too soon. She will be greatly missed by many who knew the real Quincy, the one she tried so hard to share with the world. I had a chance to visit with the parents yesterday, and as you can imagine, a wake for a 15-year-old young lady who was extraordinarily talented in every way was a mob scene. And I told the family that when any young person dies, in any of our communities, near or far, we all suffer the pain. So in honor of Mrs. Gishi and in honor of our dear friend Quincy, I would like to ask everyone just to please honor both of their lives and let their families know that we're thinking about them with just a moment of silence. Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Mayor Burns. Okay. Moving on with the next item of business, we have a check presentation, and we all know that much of the outdoor beauty of downtown is thanks to a corps of very hardworking volunteers. And tonight we have some of the downtown merchants here to present a check to the Geneva Beautification Committee. And I think Alderman Flanagan's going to accept the check because she's one of the co-chairs of the beautification.
And Sherry Weidel is the other.
And Sherry Weidel's
not going to be here this evening.
Okay. And we have Sue Hadley and Debbie Hilton from Country Naturals, right? And Jane Briner.
Yep.
Okay. Why don't we come up and?
And if you can you just I don't know who wants to explain where the funds were raised.
That's okay.
If you guys want to start at the mic, and then you can explain where the money came from, because I checked it out.
What I'd like to just make sure is that everybody come and support your efforts in the coming years, so that when they see that, you know, some of the proceeds are going to the Geneva Beautification, it really does help our group. And I want to make sure that, you know, in future, that they realize that they're also, you know, helping the economic development in Geneva, and also with that, our flowers. So it is, and it's a great combination.
All right, thank you. Did you want to say something? Well, I was just going to have them say, do you want to tell them, for people that are not familiar with more gardenology?
Yeah, that would be great.
Just a quick thing of what it is, and you know, it's the second room.
How many years has it been?
This was the second.
This is the second. Okay. So technically what it is a group of merchants who have gotten together who have decided to have mini promotions in filling in the gaps over the large promotions that the chamber does and so on. And in doing that, the two ladies from Country Naturalists came up with the idea of something with a garden, and it was how it sort of got started. And we kicked it around, and the name Gardenology came around to it. And now we have, and the concept of it was strictly to present advisors on specific topics of gardens. And which is big, and is do your own thing, and back to nature, and so on. And the customer base has wanted more people selling product, like growers and so on. And so the economy is still a lot of advisors, some growers that have permits to sell, and so that will continue to grow. And and it is a well-received promotion, the Gardenology, which has potential to be a very large promotion at some point in time.
And it just needs to coincide with our planting day.
Yes. So it coincides with our beautification planting for summer planting. So it was really, it was an exceptionally good day. Yeah, because of the gardenology and all the people coming in for not only the topics that you had to offer and all the individuals and consultants and et cetera, but it also was because of our planting day. So it really kind of segmented into a really good.
It did. And having Ball Seed become the main sponsor, that has been a big plus. And so hopefully we will get that to grow also as we go along.
Great.
And it was merchant sponsor.
And it was, the strictly merchant sponsor. It was pay as you go.
And that's what I was going to say, because this Saturday was Black Hat Day,
yes.
And everything is, not only is it merchant-sponsored, but merchant-driven. You guys have thought of it, organized it, done all the legwork, which is a lot, and both weekends have been a success, and how generous of you to give some of the proceeds back to the city for the beautification. Thank you.
Thank you. So thank you all for your support.
Thank you.
All right, no one ever told me that was going to be part of running the cow meeting. okay, our next item of business is very exciting. for the city because it is the first time the city has won this award, and it really speaks to the professionalism of our staff. First, I'd like to introduce the person who's going to present it up and just give you a little bio about him. His name is Bill Hanna. If you'd like to join us, Mr. Hanna, at the dais. He is the finance director of the Village of North Aurora. He's representing tonight the Government Finance Officers Association, and he's presenting the GFOA Distinguished Budget Award to the City of Geneva for the fiscal year of 2009-2010. And Mr. Hanna served as a finance director. He was employed with the City of Wheaton and Barrington also. And he'll be here to discuss the award, why it's so important, and why it is not a commonly given award, I don't think. So the
That's
floor
right.
is all yours, Mr. Hanna. All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mayor Burns, City Council, Administrator McKittrick, staff of the City of Geneva, and residents and other businesses of the City of Geneva. I'm honored to be here today on behalf of the Government Finance Officers Association to present the Distinguished Budget Presentation Award to the City of Geneva for the city's fiscal year 2010-2011 budget. For those of you who may not be aware, this is the highest form of recognition in governmental budgeting that exists today. GFOA's Distinguished Budget Presentation Award has been promoting the preparation of high-quality budget documents since 1984. The purpose of the program is to encourage and assist governments to prepare excellent budget documents for the benefits of citizens and other parties with a vital interest in a particular government's finances. The award itself represents the government's effort in developing and creating a budget which meets guidelines and standards in four general criteria. One, as a policy document, how well does the budget articulate the city's short and long-term financial plans, organizational plans, and those sorts of things. A financial plan, how well does it lay out the city's plan of finances for the coming fiscal year, and how well does it demonstrate the city's key financial indicators in the budget. An operations guide, how well does it describe the city's operations, its departments, its mission, its goals and objectives for the coming fiscal year for each department. And as a communications device, how well does it explain governmental budgeting and government finance, which is difficult to understand to begin with, to everyday users and citizens of the community. So those are the four criteria that the budget is judged against. To earn the award, the City of Geneva had to substantially conform to the program's demanding criteria. I'm pleased to report that today's announcement marks the first time that the city has met those challenging criteria. This is no small achievement, and the city should be extremely proud of its accomplishment. To understand the select company the city is now in, only 1,214 governmental units in the United States and Canada received this award in 2009, and only 100 units of government in the state of Illinois. As a 12-year reviewer of budgets for GFOA for determining the eligibility of the award, I can attest to the program's high standards and difficulty in achieving for the award, as many cities often require two, three, or multiple attempts to try to achieve it. So it is with great pleasure today, on behalf of the Government Finance Officers Association, to present this Distinguished Budget Presentation Award to the City of Geneva. Congratulations.
And,
City
Hanna,
Administrator
yeah.
McKittrick, we'd like you to go down and please accept that since you man the helm of that budget. I think 40 meetings, was it?
46.
Well, see, divided by this award, it's all worth it.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And I mean that when it is a great accomplishment. It's not an easy thing to do, and you're in a very select company now. So GFOA wants to encourage people not only to achieve the award, but to keep applying for the award every year and maintain the excellent budgeting practices that you've instituted here. Thank you.
And thank you for coming to present it. And I think it also comes, is the city allowed to use a logo now on correspondence that demonstrates that we've earned this?
There is a logo that you're allowed to use in subsequent budget presentations, and you may be able to use it on, obviously, as a press release and a news-related item. So,
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And I think we all know that City Administrator McKittrick has really earned this with the staff, and it's of all years the hardest budget year probably, and what a good result, and thank you for all that. Our next item of business is to consider a request from the American Legion, Geneva Post 75, to solicit donations on the public right-of-way, November 13th, 2010. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Alderman Brown.
Second.
Second by Alderman Piper. Do we have anyone?
Ms. Chairman?
Yes.
I, being a member of the American Legion for a goodly number of years, like to be excused from voting on this.
We will put you on that. Thank you. Is there any of your comrades from the Legion here who'd like to speak?
Yeah. Well, I certainly can speak.
That would be wonderful. That would.
No, you've already excused yourself.
From voting, not from speaking.
Okay.
Yes, this is a marvelous means of being able to provide financial assistance for so many of our needed veterans who are presently hospitalized. And it's a means whereby the funding that is collected is used in the sense of the needy of veterans who might be in need of toilet articles or writing materials such as that. And it's a marvelous function and a marvelous means of support for our American veterans that are hospitalized here in our veteran hospitals. And I hope that the entire city of Geneva will be very supportive in this issue. And you can look for me. I'll be over at the Walgreens in Geneva with my little containers looking for donations. So thank you for all your kindness and help in this matter. Appreciate it very much. And thank you for the opportunity to speak to this issue.
Well, thank you, Alderman Singer, for explaining it. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, unanimous with one abstention from Alderman Singer. And Mr. Hanna, if you'd like to leave, you can. We're about to talk about our financial report. We don't want to give anything away for next year. Okay, so our next item is a presentation of the 2009-10 annual financial report by Frank Constable of Constable and Steffens, CPA. Did I say okay?
Perfect. Good job.
That's great. Thank you. Floor is all yours.
Yeah, I'm Frank Constable with Constable and Steffens. We've been engaged through the city audit for the last couple of years. I just want to say good evening to everyone, and thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to present the report to you. Typically in the past, what I'd like to do is just go over some highlights. If you haven't already had a chance to review it, I'm going to give you some page numbers and some things that you may want to take a look at if you haven't already. And then after I'm done, if there's any questions now or if there's any questions later, you can either contact me through Mary McKittrick or Stephanie. Okay. First of all, the city gets the highest level of assurance. We did an audit with it's what's known as an unqualified opinion or a clean opinion. There's no exceptions. They're meeting all the government standards and implementing them and have good procedures in presenting the report. That's on pages 1 and 2. On pages 3 through 11 is what's called the management discussion and analysis. That's prepared by the city's management. And what they do there is they basically present the financial statement in like 8 pages, what this 100-page report does, and condenses it and puts it into layman terms so you can understand what the numbers really mean. They compare the numbers from this year to last year. They tell you why the numbers went up or down. They say what the improvements were, where the areas of improvement in the future, and they also highlight for fiscal year 2011 what some plans may be based on the tough economic conditions that everyone is facing and how they're going to tackle and change them. So I think it's a really good read if you haven't read it already. Since GASB 34 has been implemented, pages 12 through 14 do an overall summary of the governmental funds and the proprietary funds. So you can take a look at the balance sheet and income statements there. On pages 15 through 16, every year we have to go through and see how many major funds. There's a calculation that we're required to do every year to determine what a major fund is, and It's in the footnotes, which describes how that is. The general fund is always a major fund. TRICOM was a major fund this year based on the expenditures that they incurred. So you can see the balance sheet and the income statement of how they fared during the year on pages 15 and 16. On pages 20 and 21, that's your proprietary funds. There's your water fund, electric fund, and parking fund. So you can see how you guys did there. And then subsequent to that is the cash flow. So you can see how you cash flowed for the year on those funds. Since these statements are so large and so big, what we did is we've incorporated an index for the footnotes on pages 27 and 26. And that'll help you find some information that you may find relative to some of the information. There's information on the pension funds, IMRF, your health insurance, some other things that may be a quick reference guide. If you want to look up something really quick, you can find that on those pages. The pension funds, which is obviously a hot topic with IMRF, and the underfunding and funding, you can find those pages, the information on those pages from 67 to 72. It'll show you, where you've been, and you can see the decrease in the percent coverage because of what's happened to the economy and the investments overall, which is not uncommon with all the municipalities and governments, as you've read about in the news and heard. One of the big highlights that I would like to highlight is on page 77, which basically compares the general fund budget to actual expenditures, and you'll see that the city did a very good job managing their expenditures, in the sense that their actual expenditures were below budget by $1.2 million, which is, exceptional in this environment that the city acknowledged, with the down revenues and everything, that they're going to make an active approach at reducing revenues to help meet needs, not only in fiscal year 2009-10, but helping, preserve some of that capital to pay for future years. So they did a very good job there. Only a couple other items that I want to mention. The city has a lot of funds, and I think I mentioned only two of them were considered major funds. The rest of the non-major funds you can find on pages 79 through 89. And then you can find the police and fire investment summaries and incomes, basically the income statement on pages 90 and 91. That's pretty much all I wanted to do is just summarize the information and where you can find some key financial information in the financial report. If there's any questions, I can address them now.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Constable? Alderman Pollack?
Thanks, Dawn. Alderman Vogelsberg. Frank, just two quick questions in the back of your report. You made reference to it just a moment ago regarding the pension funds, and I see that the fire department is 100%. In terms of contributions, they're at 100%, and the police department's at 77%. Do you care to comment on that, or can you?
When it comes to vested, what they consider is about 75% is good. Anything above 75% vesting is reasonable.
Okay.
So,
and then also in the back of your report, you make notice of monthly bank reconciliation. We should have a monthly bank reconciliation.
Okay. I'll comment on that now. So first we produced the financial report, and then there's a couple other letters that accompanied the financial statement. I was going to talk about those next.
Okay.
That's okay. Sorry. So basically there's a couple other letters that we are required to present to the city. And based on through our audit, if anything came up, if there were any significant difficulties, if there were any significant adjustments, if there were any problems, we're required to report those to the board. In addition to that, we're supposed to measure the city's internal controls to the best system, or if we think of there's things that could be implemented that would help improve their efficiencies or help improve overall operations, we're supposed to let the city know and council make determination if our recommendations are valid. Sometimes some of our recommendations, as you'll read in there, management responded to each one of those, may incur additional resources or support to be able to get to that level. So, all right, now I guess I'm ready for your question.
No, I just noted that you pointed out that there should be at least a monthly reconciliation.
Correct.
As opposed to what practice did you find?
This last year that we just went in, it appeared that there were several months that were not reconciled when we came in. So it's good practice to do your reconciliations on a monthly basis, which they've initiated.
Yeah, and Mary's made reference to that in the past.
Okay.
they've identified it and they've gone back and reconciled it.
Correct. So this last fiscal year, when we were looking at the monthly recs, we can clearly tell that they weren't being done monthly. And the reason you want to do them monthly is because then if you can identify any problems or issues in a timely manner. Right. And that goes for making, well, the banks make mistakes too, and you only have so much time to go back against the banks and say, hey, you know, this was supposed to clear at 6,000 and you cleared it at 9 or something like that.
Yeah, no, and I just wanted to point out, and thank you for pointing that out, but with all due deference to City Administrator McKittrick, she did point that out
okay.
to us. So
thank you.
That was reconciled.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Alderman Hill?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, on the reconciliation, that's the just a procedure that we had been utilizing, or is something new? Does this all of a sudden show up this past fiscal year where we did not reconcile it?
In past years, it has not been an issue because they were being reconciled on a, on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Fiscal year 9-10. It's exactly, yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly it.
So, like, when you don't write down your ATM amount, Sam, and your wife yells at you, that's what it is.
Now I understand.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam.
Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What really is interesting to me, and I should be of interest to our citizens of Geneva, is your mention here of our expenditures being $1,201,234, less than what the budget was due, mm-hmm. and that was due to the decreased capital spending and reduction of operating costs due to the hiring freeze and the careful monitoring expenditures. And I think that's admirable.
Right. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to point that out during our during the meeting. Yep.
And I think we have Ms. McKittrich to be thankful for the direction she has given us in the city and the manner in which we've been able to keep our heads above water here. And we thank you very much, Ms. Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman.
Does anyone else have any questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the fiscal year 2009-10 annual financial report. Motion?
So moved.
From Maladra?
Second.
Second from Singer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having you guys. Have a great evening.
Frank, Madam Chairman, may I ask a question of Mr. Constable? Mr. Constable, come on back to the podium if you could for a second.
Let me just get this ready, though.
How long have you been doing the audit for the City of Geneva?
At least 10 years.
And in your professional opinion, and it should be noted that you are a consummate professional. You don't come
at all
here,
times. All
at
times.
All times. When there's something that's wrong, you point it out.
Absolutely.
And you've done that in years past.
Absolutely.
Whether it be inventory control, other issues that we know have been dinged, if
you will. Have already been identified. That's correct.
Has management been not just responsive to their questions, but overly transparent, provided whatever the heck it is you need?
Yes, they've answered every question, every document we've requested. They've given it to us in a timely manner. Yes. Yep. No
problem. And generally speaking, comparing this year's report to previous year's report, do we continue to do well, or are you seeing an enhancement each and every year?
Every year it's getting better and better.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's primarily due to Dawn, probably.
Well, I was going to say Mary, but Mr. Hanna's
that's true.
Here.
Awesome. I think it's important to know, because I think it's important for the folks watching that, you know, we received the award from Mr. Hanna, which
sure.
is great. You come in here every year and say, okay, let me see how you're doing.
Right.
And you're not here to be obsequious. You're
nope.
here to be objective.
Absolutely.
Correct? Obsequious. You can look that word up later if you like. So it's important to note that. So, again, this is Toot Mary's Horn Night, so Mary, well done. And all the department heads, extraordinary job. So,
Can I go now?
Well, now that you mention it.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
We are taking bids on the new audit next year, so good.
Oh, great.
Oh, we did it last year? Shoot.
Yeah.
I understand you snort when you laugh, Frank.
What?
That's the story, dude.
Oh, not
what
sure.
the hell is so funny when you're doing our audit?
Just let me know when to use this, Frank. I...
I'm going to let one out right now.
I don't know.
What a
to go through the door while you're
yeah. Okay, you're free to leave.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. All right, thank
Take
you.
Take your judgment letters with you.
Yeah. Brutal.
Okay, I think that concludes our hard science portion of the evening with finite answers. Now we're going to move to a softer science, which is the arts. And we our next item of business is to consider the acceptance of the Cultural Arts Commission Public Arts Policy.
So moved.
Moved by Pollack.
Second.
Second by Hill. And we have Business Development Specialist Paul Evans, who might want to talk about it, or Tim Vitang and Marianne Diggory, Jan Schmuckel. Now we can relax. This is stuff I can understand.
The previous committee of the whole meeting, we brought in the chairman, Vitang, had presented the policy, and with that gave the council, a committee of the whole, a chance to review the document. We received some comments that we addressed in the memo, more clarified than anything. And with that, the Cultural Arts is making a recommendation to the Committee of the Whole to approve the document, and if there's any questions by the Committee of the Whole, Tim Vitang and the committee are here to answer questions as well as myself.
Does anyone from the dais have any questions about the policy proposed?
A statement?
Pardon me?
A statement.
Yes, of course, you may have a statement as long as it's not obsequious.
But I can't help myself.
How many people in the audience know what obsequious means?
Here we go.
We do now.
Well, besides the journalist, Nagel.
Wait, here's a bet. Who cares? No.
Okay. So all kidding aside, I think that this is a really good policy. I think it's important that we have one. I don't know exactly when we're going to have opportunities to build a collection or bring in temporary exhibits or anything like that, but I know that we're better off having a policy in advance of those opportunities than we are waiting until the opportunity descends and somebody says, I don't like that statue.
It's objective.
Wait, that was me. So I think it's really good. Well done. Thank you.
I think Alderman Singer and then Pollack, then
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Paul and Mr. Vitang and your committee, I have had conversations with many of my constituents regarding this issue, and they are just so pleased to see that someone has come forward to give us a sense of a direction. And they felt very comfortable with the direction that we hopefully will be taking. So I compliment you and your committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Alderman Pollack?
I will defer to Alderman Flanagan, ladies
thank
first.
Thank you. Alderman, what's her name? Flanagan.
Flanagan.
This is hard.
Vogelberg. Thank you. I just wanted to say that I thought that the inclusion of not to be negative, but I was very concerned about the issue of funding and maintenance, and I thought that I know after reading this that I'm more comfortable with it, and I think that it's going to be a good thing. And I thank the committee for putting this together, especially Tim Vitang and his group that actually put all of this on paper. And I agree that we should have a policy in place, because if the opportunity does arise, we'll at least have some sort of process to go through. It won't be like the Rain Man, where we were trying to figure out and how and when and where and all that other kind of stuff was going on.
More than anything else, this gives a framework that they can bring to the council, and so much background. You know, they've brought up most of the issues that you would think about. They're going to have done through this committee and the Cultural Arts ahead of time. So really, the homework, and should only enhance the process.
I agree wholeheartedly. So I thank the committee. Thank you.
Did anyone in the is anyone else on the dais want to say anything or ask? Yes, Alderman Pollack.
Thanks, John. Paul, I want to thank the committee. I mean, this was a lot of work for them to put this together, and you know, they don't get paid for it. It's their love of the community and love of the arts, and something like this certainly distinguishes Geneva from other towns and will put us on the map of being truly art-centric. So thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone in the audience have anything they'd like to say? I just wanted to thank you guys. After we had the Rain Man discussion, I saw Tim and Jan at Caribou the next morning, and you said, this is what we need. We need a policy. And you said it, and you did it. And that is really a wonderful thing. So thank you. Thank you, Jan. Because well, he's pointing to you, but that's a wonderful thing to identify a problem and then do what's required, and that is the great community spirit of Geneva. So that's wonderful. Thank you. And it could not have been easy. So now that we've had the motion,
can I make a comment. Somebody needs to champion somebody needs to champion an idea, and you did it well. So I just wanted to throw that in there because it's really difficult to champion an ideal and take it to its fruition. So thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion on the floor. All in favor of accepting the proposed Cultural Arts Commission public art policy?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion passes unanimously. Okay, well, now we're back to Yay Mary McKittrick night. can I have a motion to well, isn't it here? Well, we are going to discuss the acceptance of the 2010-11 second quarter goal status report.
Award. It's an award.
May I have a motion, please?
So move.
From Singer, and a second from Alderman Brown. Did anyone have any questions of City Administrator McKittrick or Assistant Administrator Dawkins about the goals?
Just on one.
Okay, Alderman Pollack.
On goal one, I found a typo.
On what?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Pardon? Turn his mic off? Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay, can all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, that passes unanimously. Letter H, consider draft resolution waiving right of first refusal for 1 North 016 Peck Road, Geneva, Illinois, Clarence and Doreen Weber. I have a motion from Hill and a second from Piper. Does anyone have any questions for City Administrator McKittrick about this issue?
Just a point of clarification?
Yes.
This this right of first refusal is only for this purchase contract only, correct? Thank you.
Thank you. And go ahead, Attorney Radovich.
The contract that the Webbers have entered into has some contingencies in it. So if it's not consummated, then the right of first refusal would be revived.
Correct.
Yep, it's a good clarification. Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions in the audience on this motion? If not, we're going to go ahead and do a voice vote. all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you. The motion passes unanimously. Letter I. Presentation and request to pursue public hearing on city-initiated amendments to City Code Titles 4, which are business and licensing, and 11, which is zoning, in order to establish use permissibility and license regulation for adult-use businesses. And I think we have City Planner David DeGroot, and Director Unsch in the audience, if you would like to come up and say anything. It's really just we're really just being asked if we should move it to the Plan Commission. I'm sorry. Yes. Can I have a motion?
So moved. Second.
Hill and Flanagan. Thank you. Okay, now Mr. Unsch.
Yes. Very simply, Attorney Radovich and David DeGroot, myself, we've been working for a good many months putting this together. what you have is a situation where adult use businesses deal with the rights that are protected by the First Amendment with regard to freedom of expression and freedom of speech. There is extensive case law with respect to municipalities endeavoring to regulate these kinds of uses and having varying degrees of success or lack of success in regulating these uses if they focus on the content of the business, because it is the content of the activity that is protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution. The ordinances that are successful regulate the negative secondary effects of these kinds of uses on the community. And so what we've done is we've put together actually two sets of code amendments, the first dealing with zoning regulation and these types of uses, and the uses are specifically defined in the ordinance, are allowable as permitted uses in the I-1 and I-2 district. There are regulations governing the parking requirements associated with them, and then there's a very specific listing of definitions of the various terms associated with these kinds of uses, the actual uses themselves, whether it be an adult bookstore or an adult arcade, an adult theater, those kinds of things. The second group of amendments deals with licensing requirements for this kind of activity. The requirements specify that a license is needed for both the operator of an adult business as well as a license needs to be granted to each of the individual employees working in the facility. There's a long list of requirements associated with licensure. There's an ability for our police department to inspect at any time the business while it's, I believe, in open for business. There are extensive provisions with regard to suspension or revocation of a license. These licenses would be issued on an annual basis if such a use were to be established in the community. So long story short, this is an effort by staff and Attorney Radovich to bring forth to you a regulation that would, in our view, protect the community from the effects of this kind of proposal being established in the community. I should point out also that we have a provision proposed within the regulation that specifies a minimum distance of 750 feet between the actual building where such an activity would occur in the I-1 or I-2 district and any residential zoning district, any park, playground, school, church within the community. So that's an additional level of regulations involved here.
Yes. Attorney Radovich.
Yes, Alderman. If I could just amplify just a couple things. First of all, I think we should recognize that we've patterned this ordinance very closely to the City of Batavia's licensure regulations, and we extend our gratitude for the assistance that staff is from City of Batavia's given to us. They adopted a similar type of regulations, I believe, in 2007. Also, a comment is that our zoning ordinance does not currently regulate these kinds of uses, and an exclusionary zoning is not one that we wish to have. You need to have a zoning ordinance that would consider all types of uses, even such adult uses. So the combination of using the zoning ordinance plus the licensing regulations is, we think, an effective way, one that the courts, both at the federal and level, but mostly at the federal level, Supreme Court and our 7th District Court has entertained and generally accepted.
If I can add, the simple description that I can propose to you that, that I think gets right to the point. We have Borders Books. We have Barnes & Noble in town. Those are permitted uses in their respective zoning districts on the, those sites. If an entity came along and said, I want to open up an adult bookstore in Geneva in a similarly zoned piece of property, on a similarly zoned piece of property, we would have no ability under our current regulations to differentiate. There's First Amendment protections for that, that adult bookstore to locate in a business zone where bookstores are allowed as a permitted use. So what this regulation is doing is providing that level of protection to the community and to this sensitive uses that we've identified, and it's really protection of the from the negative secondary effects of this use, not the regulation of the content itself.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Director Unsch? Alderman Singer?
Yes,
and then
thank
Hill.
You, Mr. Unsch. I'm being led, are we here to believe that this issue now is going to be presented to the Plan Commission?
That's correct.
All right. And the licensing agreements as such, there would be fees attached with that, such as any licensing.
Yes.
Who will be and what will determine those fees?
Well, the ordinance brackets the fees. I think it's not less than 200 or more than 400. I think there was some case law on that.
Correct.
So there wouldn't be any sense of an overcharge for a facility such as that, for that be someone who would feel that they're being discriminated against.
Yeah, it includes consideration of staff time in the review of the license application. And the City Council will have an opportunity to review this after the Plan Commission has conducted its public hearing on the zoning ordinance. So we don't want to scrutinize the content too much here until that public hearing process has been concluded. But
all right. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Unsch. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Alderman Hill, did you have something about the motion as stated?
Yes. Vic, you have a map of the city.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In various zones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Zones. Are those areas that could now possibly
Well, actually, you have two maps in your packet. That first map identifies the industrial zoning districts, that is the I-1 and I-2 districts, that we looked at from a staff perspective on this question of location of these uses. And applying the 750-foot separation distance to residences, churches, and the like, I think four or five of those identified areas fell out of consideration. The second map in your packet actually shows the areas that would be possible locations for this use or these type of uses, and they're located in the basically the Geneva Business Park area and a portion of an area off of Kirk Road, south of 38.
Certain zones numbered here, 1 through 6.
Yeah, and those. Let me just put.
Well, we have to be careful. Just what Attorney Radovich said. Our only charge tonight is to advance it to Plan Commission.
Just to quickly answer the question. I just want to get this. On the map that you're looking at, the two areas that would be eligible based on the criteria that we've identified and set forth in the proposed ordinance would be in areas 6 and 7 only, Sam.
And Director Unsch, thank you, Alderman Hill. Currently, the proposed ordinance is in the packet, which is on our website, and
yes.
Then it the public hearing at the Plan Commission will be open to anyone.
Absolutely.
So it'll be a good place to really look at it. But, again, a lot of hard work. Thank you both because and Attorney Radovich, it's very well done. Yes,
Director
Alderman Pollack.
Dick, on the map that you were just referencing to Alderman Hill, identifying 6 and 7, the areas in red versus the areas in gray.
Yes.
The red denotes what?
Let's see.
It says site locations, distance.
I'm looking at gray tones here on my
buffer.
I can't remember
red
what we had.
Red is the excluded zone, the 750.
Red is excluded.
750 feet.
Yeah. Okay.
Red is excluded. Dark gray is allowed.
Okay. No, I don't think so.
Or is it the other way around?
Red, because I think, is a 750-foot buffer.
Red would exclude?
Red is excluded.
Yeah.
Yeah, the gray would be
gray is permitted area.
Oh, gray is permitted?
Correct.
Dark gray.
Dark gray.
The gray. I'm on the second map.
I'm looking at the first map.
The first map just indicates the areas that were studied.
Okay.
Don't put that on the Plan Commission one.
All right.
Does that answer your question,
yes,
Alderman
thank
Pollack?
You. Thank you.
Okay. So we have a motion on the floor to advance this to the Plan Commission, which is how we always handle any kind of zoning or amendments. So all in favor to advance this? I'm sorry, did you?
No.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any objections?
Nay.
Okay, we have Alderman Pollack with one objection and the rest, ayes.
Could I request from the chair a point of personal privilege?
Of course.
And if the alderman is willing to answer.
Sure.
Would you be willing to share with you the purpose or share with the audience the purpose of the nay?
Oh, sure, Mayor. I have a couple questions that I want to just speak to staff about that all of a sudden dawned on me because Alderman Piper pointed out there's two different color grays.
Oh, God. Okay.
That I guess he's right.
we'll address that. It's an exhibit issue, I think, more than anything else.
Okay.
And probably the staff will
address
those in separate exhibits so that there's no confusion.
I had heard that before, and that's why I wanted to clarify if that was exactly your purpose as well. So, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you. Before we move on to new business, I just have to go back, I'm sorry, and just mention item H, consider the draft resolution. I made it sound like that was a done deal, but all we did was agree to consider it, and we will be discussing it again at the City Council meeting next week. Sorry about that. I'd like to be efficient. Okay, now we are on to new business. Anyone in the audience have anything they'd like to present? Okay, and from the dais, we have Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to take a moment here to acknowledge a dear friend of mine who is also a resident of the city of Geneva, who was a World War II bomber pilot and passed away here just recently. His name is Carl Oscar Herbert Harrelson. And he and I were, as he was at one time, of course, a member of Geneva American Legion Post 75. And he flew a B-25 bomber in the Pacific campaign and also as well in the Korean War. And he was just an absolutely remarkable man and just a marvelous provider for his family. And it's just a beautiful family man. And I would like to acknowledge my thanks to him for his service to our country. And one of the astonishing things that I found out about Herb, I knew this a goodly number of years ago, he was stationed on an island quite distant from Hawaii where where he piloted his B-25 bombers. And he met a young lady there who was a flight nurse. And after about 4 months of wooing her, they married in a chapel there on that island. And lo and behold, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago, when they were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, they went back to the island and renewed their vows in that same chapel. And many of the residents that were present at their first ceremony were also there at that time. It was really astonishing. And I just would like to mention the fact that he was just a very honorable man and just a marvelous companion and a good person, and It's just a nice guy. So I just would like you to know that he's a graduate of Geneva High School, a very fine athlete, too, at that point. I wonder if your dad, Chuck, knew him.
I was a classmate of his daughter, Susan.
His daughter.
And know the rest of the family, and
yeah.
Some of them still live in Geneva.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for letting me recognize this gentleman.
Mr. Singer, are you aware of the services that are being offered?
I'm sorry?
Are there services?
There was a Memorial Sunday that I attended at the at the American Legion. It was very well attended.
Thank you for bringing that up to us, Alderman Singer. Does anyone else have any new business? If not, we're going to entertain a motion to go into closed session on the purchase of real property for the use of the public body, and I believe no action is expected, correct? Yes. Correct. Okay.
So moved.
Can I have a motion by Piper?
Second.
Oh. Oh, I must have.
Oh,
closed session on this.
This close.
I'm all about the buy, not the sale. Let me just restate it. Closed session on the setting of a price for sale or lease of property owned by the public body. And I have a motion by Piper.
Second.
A second by Flanagan. And we're going to go ahead and do a roll call vote. No, that's what I was trying to say. City Administrator McKittrick, do you mind doing the roll call? Thank you.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Jordan Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Ray Paul?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Glenn Singer?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's unanimous. We'll go into closed session and no action.
No action in closed session?
You okay?
No. Oh.